in the last shiur on the Agadita of Brachos Daf Ches Amud Aleph, we spoke about the pasuk Yispal Kol Chosid Eilecha Lies Mitzo, and there were many different shitas about Lies Mitzo, and one of the shitas is Isha. Matza Isha Matza Tov. Eis Mitzo is the moment in which a person finds his marriage partner, he finds his wife. And we're going to look at the Ein Ayah who says that Al Eis Achas Shemimena Totzos Legoral Chayev Kol Yomov. That this pasuk of Yispalel Eis Mitzo is referring to a moment in one's life which has an which determines the destiny of his entire life. And therefore, that could only possibly apply to deciding on a wife. That's what Rav Chanina is saying, that no doubt that this pasuk is referring to finding a wife, because that is going to determine the nature of his life. She'im mazmin lo Hashem isha yofeh, is mispar yomav kiflayim v'yachal laso kol yomav v'shlemus hamitis v'abar lehefa chas v'sholom ha'idei isha ra nekar hu kol yomei chayav v'tiruf hadas v'b'chisus shel midas ros. In other words, this decision, and it's being supervised by Hashem, is very, very critical. If he gets the right wife, he can dedicate his life to achieving higher and higher levels of perfection in the spiritual, ethical world, and therefore he should be mispalel for an Isha that would be Matzah Isha, Matzah Tov. The Gemara tells us that in Eretz Yisrael, when a person got married, they would ask him, is it Matzah or Motzah? And if you look at the relationship between the word matzah, which means he found in the past tense, and motzah, ani asi shamar mimavas, in the present tense, the fundamental difference is that if a man marries a good woman, matzah isha matzah tov, then in the past tense you could say he already was zoche in his mekach tov. No one will take it away from him. He no longer has to do anything active. It's matzah. But in the case of an isha ra, where the halacha is that he has to divorce her, in such a case, if he doesn't divorce her, and he's bringing the ra al atzmo, he's causing himself evil, and therefore in the present tense, he's constantly finding life to be mar mimavis. He could be mesalik this chisaron, but he didn't do so. And if he continues this situation being married to this evil woman, then we can no longer use the lashon avar. We have to use the lashon hove, motza nias isha mar mimavis, even now. Rabbi Nosson, on the other hand, says lies mitzo is Torah, ki motzoi motza chayim. And if you look at the Rambam's introduction to the Sefer Mor Nevuchim, he writes that the hasogos amitios tishkofna liish v'achar ta'alomna v'dom laholich b'der choshech u'barak meirlo. In other words, the Rambam says that if a person is going on his road, on his journey, and it's dark outside, he desperately needs light on a constant basis. And in the Nimshal, if a person wants to achieve intellectual greatness and comprehension of the true concepts of life, if he doesn't have the Torah, he's walking through the choshech. He's walking in the darkness. However, if he's zochet to Torah's emes, that's a whole nother story. He's got the light of Torah that illuminates his way. A person should be mispalel with a genuine, contrite heart, asking Hashem to be mezakeh him in that mitzia gedola, in that great find of Torah. And therefore, the Rambam writes, Yesh Misha Bolo Abarak Pamachas Mechaivin Ken Royalist Paul Osa Shah Meirlo Biorishal Torah Shetia Masmedis Etzlo. A person can sometimes see a flash of light that illuminates his way, but on a one-time basis, and once he experiences that, he should ask Hashem for a constant source of light, and that will come to him through the study of Torah, and he'll be able to achieve the maximum of shleimus that he possibly can, that he's capable of. Rav Nachman Yitzchak says, Lies mitzo is misa, shenemar, lamavas totzos. In other words, the Eis Mitzvah refers to a specific time period, a point in time. And that's the point in which Yatzu Kave Oro Legoral Chayav Biosit is something of a very serious nature that's happening at that moment in time. And of all the moments in a person's life, the most critical moment, of course, the most significant moment, which is called Totzos Chayav, is the moment of death. And if he's going on the right way, if he's Ratzui B'Eni Hashem, that's going to be one kind of death. If, on the other hand, he goes through Choshech, then his day of death could be catastrophic. And when we want to determine what is the nature of this person, how did he achieve in his life, we can look at his death. A person who follows the path of tzedakah, of righteousness, he's a tam, he's a yashar, he's a yerushamayim. Then the pasuk says, "Vatischak liyom achron." It's not a day that would reflect a person whose life was full of running after his taivas, his passions, his physical pleasures, and his entire desire in life is spiritual in nature. That's a beautiful nefesh. And such an individual is not in the spoil, he's not scared of death. It's not too heavy upon him. It's the Russia who lives in darkness. All his life he's dedicated to his taivas, to his physical pleasures. He's the person who's scared, he's frozen of death. But not so with regard to the neshamos, the nefashos of tzaddikim, the hod, and the chemdas hamusa, the orat tochacha, and chachma das Hashem. They're on the path towards eternity, and therefore, they don't have to worry about death. Death is not a heavy fear for them. Alkanius Paul Kol Chasid Domilios Abchinishalo Shel Kalus Yom Amisa Bienov. A person should pray to Hashem that for all his days Misa is something light. He's not overwhelmed by fear because of death. Shalvas Nafsho, he lives in a sense of serenity. And this will all be an os. This will be an indication from HaKadosh Baruch Hu how HaKadosh Baruch Hu evaluates his life. And he in turn sets his priorities for all of his life. And he understands that the Hasog of Shlemus for the Nefesh HaNitzchus, that is the ultimate goal of life itself. Rabbeinu Yonah in Shari Tshuva says, Kama yichbad v'yomer yom v'yumar yom ha'moves l'mishalo hifrid nafsho mitaves olam hazeh. How heavy and how bitter is the day of death for someone who could not detach himself from the taiva of this world. And we can interpret that Misas Neshika is his amtsus b'chai ad, is the push towards eternity. Haba mi avas ha-chochma v'atov, hinom Hashem, the beautiful words here, of the Ein Ayah. Rabbi Yochanan says, Leis Mitzozu Kfura, and Emir Tzashem, B'li Neder, we'll talk about that on another occasion. What we want to do now is dedicate the rest of the Shir to the Sugya here on Daf Ches Omid Aleph. And I'll tell you exactly where we want to put our finger on the place. Let's look at Omer Rabbi Chiya Bar Rav Ami, which is, if you count from the bottom of the page, it's approximately 10 lines up from the bottom. And we're in a string of Mamorim of Rabbi Chiya Bar Ami in the name of Ula, the first of which is Gadol Hanene Miyagio Yoser Miyari Shamayim. A person who benefits from his own personal Yigia, he works, and he works hard, and he supports himself, he is greater than Yiri Shamayim. Now again, it must be talking about a case where he himself is a Yiri Shamayim. Otherwise he can't be greater than a Yiri Shamayim just because he supports himself. But what it means is that in addition to being a Yiri Shamayim, he also dedicates himself, perhaps part of the day or major part of the day, to work hard and to support himself and his household if he's married and has children. And such a person is totally independent. He doesn't have to come on to anyone. He doesn't have to ask for any gifts, any gratis. He doesn't get money from this organization, that organization, from the community, charity chest. He is in the driver's seat. He feels comfortable. He feels a sense of achievement. He is independent. He's not Sony. He is a Sony Matonos Yichya. He's not a Nosei nor a he's not a Makabel Matonos. And therefore, he can dedicate himself with a clear mind to Yira Shamayim, to Avodas Hashem, to davening, to learning, when he's not involved in his malacha. A person who's totally dedicated exclusively to Avodas Hashem has to depend upon miracles, maybe the hands of others. He's what we call Tzarech Lebrios. He's dependent upon the goodwill and the compassion of others. He is in a state of anxiety. He doesn't know where his next meal is coming from, and he doesn't even know to what extent he owes a debt of gratitude to those who are sustaining him and supporting him. From whence does Rabbi Chiya derive this conclusion? Seems like a pretty revolutionary conclusion. To emphasize Hanena Migiyoso, says Rabbi Chiya, the Ilu Gabi Yiri Shamayim Ksiv, the Pesukim Tehillim says, Ashrei Ish Yareis Hashem B'mitzvosov Chafetz Miod. He's a real Yiri Shamayim, and he's Ashrei. The word that we can use to describe his fortune, his good portion, is Ashrei. However, in contrast, Ilu gabe nene miyigiyoso, ksiv yigia kapech ki sochal ashrecha v'tovloch, not just ashrecha v'tovloch, the shvach that's heaped upon this individual is a double one, ashrecha v'tovloch. Ashrecha means bo'olam hazeh v'tovloch l'olam haba. He will be zoche and he will inherit two worlds, this world and the next. L'gabe yir shamayim, it doesn't say v'tovloch. V'tovloch lo ksiv bei. And therefore pure Yira Shamayim doesn't size up to a person who's not only a Yira Shamayim, but he's also in the category of Yigia Kapecha. In Yigia Kapecha, the Torah has this double description of praise. It's Ashrecha plus V'tovloch, that's Yigia Kapecha Kisochel. Now, we are going to begin with the Marsha's insight into the Sugya, and then B'li Neder will go on to the Tzlach and the Gaon. According to the Marsha, the Gemara has to be understood in the light of the story in the Agadat in Tainus Chaf Hei about Reb Chanina ben Dosa, who was very, very poor. He was destitute. His wife begged him to pray to Hashem that Hashem should send him down some Parnasa from Shamayim as a divine gift. And what happened? from Shamayim, a yad, a hand came out after Rav Chanina ben Dosa prayed, and this hand was carrying the regal, the leg of a table that was pure gold, which would certainly be enough to support his family for a very long time. However, Rav Chanina ben Dosa, when he went to sleep and he had a dream, they showed him in his dream that in the next world, he will be sitting with the tzaddikim, all of whom are sitting at a shulchan, but they're sitting on a shulchan with four legs, he'll be sitting on a shulchan with three legs. He's already eaten up one of his raglayim, so to speak, meaning he enjoyed the benefit of his merits in this world, and therefore detracted from his merits for the next world. Says the Maharsha, based on that Gemara of Rav Chanina ben Dosa, this is what's happening here in Masech de Brachos, Gadol HaNena B'Yolam HaZeh Mi'Yigio, a person who is Nene in this world from his Yigia, is Tovlach. It means, Tovlach means the Olam Haba, he will not in any way lose one iota of his Schar in Olam Haba. And that makes him superior to the Yorei Shamayim, because the Yorei Shamayim will have to be Nene from Schar in this world, like the case of Rav Chanina ben Dosa, because the Yorei Shamayim has no source of income. Hashem will have to provide for him in one way or the other, through one conduit or another, and that means that from Shamayim he's being supported, which detracts from his chelek, his reward in the old. He's already getting paid up the reward for his actions in this world. Masha Enkin, the case of Nenemi Giyakapov, he's not asking Hashem for any financial help. He's working he's working very hard, and he's bringing food to support his family. He's not asking for any divine gift gratis that would detract from his chelek in Olam Haba. His chelek in Olam Haba is guaranteed, and it's full, it's protected, there's nothing detracting from it. Says the Maharsha, that's the difference between a regular Yirei Shamayim who doesn't have a source of income, has to come on to divine help, losing as it were from his Olam Haba, as opposed to Yigia Kapov Kitochal, a person who is not in any way asking for merits and divine gifts and protection and sustenance in this world. He's dependent upon himself. He is not in any way, detracting from his schar and Olam Haba. That's the Maharsha. I'd like to go on with you to study the Tzlach. He has a pretty radical understanding of this Gemara. And he speaks about two individuals. One is the chassid who has managed to ascend all the spiritual ladders. He's attained the point of Taras HaNefesh. He has no desire for Averis. He's the Oved as Boro Me'ava. He's not challenged by anything that'll bring him down. He's totally on the up, looking forward to every opportunity to do mitzvahs. He serves Hashem out of a sense of Ava. And then we have the Yorei Shamayim, in contrast, who is a strong and disciplined individual who, despite all the taivas and all the desires and pulls that allure him to Avera, somehow he overcomes the Yetzirah. He controls and subdues the Yetzirah. He's the Oved es Hashem Miyira. And Gadol HaNena Miyigio, that's the highest level of Chasidus. He's Nene, he has pleasure from his Avodas Hashem, from his Maisa Mitzvahs. He looks forward to them. That's him. That's an essential part of himself. He does the mitzvahs, he serves Hashem with Gishmak, with Simcha. I'm reminded of the Akdam of the Igli Tal, where he writes that Torah, if it's studied with Simcha, is the greatest level of Torah learning. Torah Lishma enters into your very your very spiritual fabric or biological fabric, if you will. So in the case of a person who serves Hashem bi'ava and with simcha, he's the individual that has reached the level of Yigia Kapecha Kisochal, meaning if after all this Yigia of working to overcome and subdue the Yetzer Hara, successfully reach that level where the Yetzer Hara is not a pitui anymore. It doesn't allure him, it doesn't tempt him. Now he can dedicate the rest of his life to be Nene Bavodas Hashem. And the Yerushamayim is a person who's constantly battling his Yetzer Hara. And as a result of that struggle, he's not enjoying his mitzvahs. He fulfills the will of God out of a sense of yira. He's got to do it. And it's very hard for him to change and come to a level of ava. He's really stuck in this mode of yira. And in fact, I mentioned to you that this is not only the tzlach, it's also the Vilna Gaon. But I think the Vilna Gaon takes us even a step further. In Maisa Rav, one of the Hagos, it says that what this Gemara is talking about here in Brachos, it's not referring to someone who never had to battle with the Yetzer Hara. He was constantly involved in such a confrontation. But what happened is, he finally got to the level where through his Yigia Rabbah, he was Kovashis Yitzro. Ezu Gibra Kovesh, as the Mishnah says. Now at this point, everything that's good, everything that's a mitzvah, is Nases Lo Keteva, becomes like second nature to him. And therefore he has such Hanah, what we call in Yiddish Geshmak, from Avodas Hashem, because he doesn't have to be constantly involved in a battle against the Yetzer on a regular basis, 24/7. So he's really up, he's really excited, because he feels that without grappling and without, wrestling with the Yetzer Hara, he can dedicate himself to mitzvahs, to Maisim Tovim, out of a sense of profound simcha. That's Yigia Kapecha Kitochal Ashrecha V'Tov Lach. Within the context of the tzlach, we have to ask ourselves the question, what does it mean that he's Nene Miyagia Kapov? I mean, after all, we're talking about a person who's Nene Miyasiyas HaMitzvahs, not Miyagia. But I think he's saying that as a result of the Gia in which he succeeded in overpowering his Yetzer, now he's going to have a tremendous pleasure in his Asiyas HaMitzvahs. And maybe the challenge that such a person has, if he's up to that level of Yigiyah, that he reached the plateau, the pinnacle through his Yigiyah, and now it's Nene, HaNene Yigiyah of Kapov. Now he can have Hana, because he no longer has to fight the battle of the Yetzer Hara, but he's purely on the ride, on the wave of Asiyas Mitzvahs, and with Geshmak. Now that the mitzvahs have become teva, perhaps the challenge that he faces in life is to take that hana and increase it and intensify it, not just quantitatively, but also qualitatively, to really be like the tzaddikim l'asid lavu, yoshvim batroseihem b'roshem b'rasheihem v'nenim yiziv ashchina. He should get to that level of the more and more intense hana that he gets from mitzvahs. No, they tell the story about the Gaon, that the Gaon was holding on to his tzitzis, or some say he was holding on to his dalet midim. He didn't want to let the Yetzer to the Malach HaMavos take him away, because in the next world you can't buy a lulav, or if you can buy one, you can't even kind of the mitzvah of a lulav. Is a mess, is already chafshi min ha-mitzvahs. Let's hold on to life and forget about the battle against the Yetzer Hara. We've overcome those battles. We were successful. We're still standing on two. Now the mitzvahs become more like teva, but the challenge is to make sure that we're not doing the mitzvahs by rote and mechanically. We're doing it with a great sense of enthusiasm and joy. And here I want to share with you another insight from a different work of the Gaon called the Imre Noam, which radically will change our whole understanding of this Gemara. And what we're going to read here is that the word Ashrei in the Pasuk that refers to the Yirei Elokim, it says, the Ashrei Ish Yirei Es Hashem, that Ashrei is a reference to Olam Haba. In the case of the Nenemi Giyakapov, where it says Ashrei Ashrecha Vitov Lach, there the Ashrecha is Bolam Hazeh. What does it mean by Ashrecha Bolam Hazeh? According to Tzlach, it's very beautiful, and as the Gaon embellishes it, we're talking about a person who's no longer involved in that battle with the Yetzer on an ongoing basis. We're talking about a person who is Yogea B'Yegia Rabba Lichbosh Es Yitzro. He's already beyond that point. He succeeded in being Kovish Es Yitzro. He's now doing the mitzvahs B'Simcha. And his Olam Hazeh is such an enjoyable pleasure that the same word Ashrecha, that's used to describe the Yigia Kapecha's stature in this world, and the benefits that he's fortunate, the enjoyments, the pleasures that he's fortunate to have because he loves doing the mitzvahs, that same word Ashrecha, which again in the case of Yigia Kapecha refers to Olam Hazeh, in the case of a Yirei Shamayim, a Yirei Elokim, it refers to Olam Haba, Ashrei Ish Yirei Hashem. He will get a nice portion Olam Haba. Says the Imre Noam that a person who's Nenemi Giyakapov and he enjoys the Avod of Hashem to such an extent that his enjoyment in this world is equivalent to the Schar for a Yirei Elokim B'Olam Haba. So take the Schar of Yirei Elokim, the pleasure that the Yirei Elokim will have in the next world, and compare it to the Hana that the Nenemi Giyakapov has in this world without detracting from the next world. That's an amazing thing. So again, let's read it inside. B'Yirei Shamayim Nichtav Rak Ashrei, which means that it'll get Schar in Olam Haba. But here, in our context, in reference to a Yirei Shamayim who doesn't have this double lashon of Ashrecha V'Tov Lach, therefore, his Ashrei is his Schar of Olam Haba. In the case of an enemy Giyakapov, he has both Ashrecha, which means Olam Hazeh, and Tovlach is a reference to Olam Haba. And therefore, he writes, Hanenemi Giya is Yeshlo Tov Olam Hazeh, Kimidas HaTov Shel Yirei Shamayim Olam Haba. In both cases, it says the word V'Ashrei, and therefore they're equal. The Hana, the pleasure that a Nenemi Giya gets in this world from doing the mitzvah Hashem, is Shav V'Shav, it's equal to the pleasures of, or the merits of Olam Haba of the Yirei Elokim. That's pretty amazing that Olam Hazeh could have a level of schar, a level of simcha and hana that equalizes, or that is equal to, I should say, the benefits that accrue to a Yirei Elokim in Olam Haba. So Ashrei Hainu schar Olam Haba Shel Yirei Shamayim Hu Kein Ashrecha Shel Hanena Migiyoso Klomarak Kiperos Maisa Volmazed Imsa Shigodal Hanena Migio Yoser Miyuri Shamayim Bishar Holomazed Vehaba. Now, what do we take out of this Gemara? If I can just give you my take on it. In the Rambam's perspective, the way he would look at this Gemara, I have no doubt, is that it's absolutely critical for a person to be independent. His hands shouldn't be out to take gifts from this, from that, from organizations, from family members. It's got to be independence. And in the Rambam's frame of reference, Hana from Yigia Kapayim is itself an end unto itself. it's mishkachas avon, and it's something that's very important, soli matonis yichya, etc., etc., etc. This is the way it has to be. This is the lechatchila. This is the perfect version. And to be a Yirei Shamayim and depend upon others or even upon nisim from Hashem to support you, that's not the way of the Torah. That's the Rambam in Hilchos Talmud Torah. The Rambam is very outspoken about this. If, on the other hand, you take a different approach, more of Rav Shimon bar Yochai's approach later on in the Gemara here in Brachos, that the highest level, the perfect picture, is to depend upon Hashem and to be totally dedicated, exclusively dedicated to the study of Torah, then what do we do with the statement of Rav Chiya? Is Rav Chiya absolutely antithetical to the position of Rav Shimon bar Yochai, or is there any way of reconciling them? And perhaps Rav Shimon bar Yochai is focused on the tip of the tip, you know, the spitz, the pinnacle, those, you know, one in a thousand or whatever number it is of people who can be dedicated to the Torah study and totally reliant upon Hashem. But even Rav Shimon bar Yochai would agree that given the fact that most of us would not be able to sit down and concentrate on our Avodas Hashem, on our learning of Torah, knowing that where's the next meal going to come from, the best idea for most of us would be a kind of integration of whatever number of hours it takes to reap and to guarantee that there's food on the table, a decent level of a financial status and certain basic benefits and comforts in life, and then the rest of the day, you know, you have a what we call ruyuk, you know, you're calm, you're clear, you can focus on your Torah learning, your Avodas Hashem. That's the way to do it for most of us. Let's go on. V'yomer Abchiyo bar Ami Mishmeidi Uli Olam Yadur Adam B'makom Rabo. A person should live in close proximity to his Rebbe in order to have the access to his Rebbe and feel the influence of his Rebbe. He will be inspired by his Rebbe who guides him. And the proof to this is Kol Zman. Shekol Zman Sheshimi Ben Gera. He was the Rebbe of Shlomo Amel Kayom when he was alive. Lo Nasa Shlomo as Bas Paro. In other words, Shlomo married Bas Paro in the fourth year of his Malchus. And after 3 years of his Malchus, Shimi ben Gera, who was told not to leave Yerushalayim, left the environs of Yerushalayim and he was killed. So just shortly after the death of Shimi ben Gera, the Rebbe, that's when Shlomo Melech went out and he did this terrible thing of marrying a Bas Paro. The Pasuk says in Melachim Aleph, Vayischatein Shlomo as Paro Melech Mitzrayim, Vayikach as Bas Paro, Vayivyeo Lir David. And this, according to the Gemara in Shabbos, Nun Vav Hamid Beis, was a terrible day in Jewish history. This was the beginning of the Avera of Avodah Zarah that's going to ultimately lead to the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. The beginning of Churban starts with that moment, that day, that very bleak day when Shlomo Melch marries Bas Paro. The Pasuk says, Hisham lechem pen yiftel avavchem v'saratem v'atem lehem achirim v'shtafisim lehem. And then it says, V'yavadetem mehera me'al oretz ha'tova. And the Gemara establishes that at the moment that Shlomo Melch married Bas Paro, is not Gavriel kona b'yam v'olav osirtom v'olav nivnisa romi shehi achrivis Yerushalayim. The Maharsha in Sanhedrin Chaf Alpha Mebeis has a long presentation about this, explaining that the turning point, the critical moment in Jewish history for the arrow moving down, thumbs down, was the moment that Shlomo married Bas Paro. The Rambag in Melachim is a little bit less harsh on Shlomo. He says that Enochinami Bas Paro underwent the process of Gerus, although Shlomo was not right in marrying her because the Torah did not allow marrying a Mitzri unless it's Dar Shlishi, and she wasn't Dar Shlishi. But there is a Deah in the Gemara in Yevamos on Daf Ayin Vav Beis, Rav Papa says that Shlomo Melech never actually married Bas Paro. He had relations with her, as nus relationship. And when the pasuk says Vayischatein Shlomo es Bas Paro, it means something like chasnus, a love relationship, but it was a passionate kind of love, and the Torah considers it as if he had actually married her. The Gemara asks Akasha, for Tanya, is it really so that a person like Ula establishes should be living together with his Rebbe? Doesn't the pasuk say Al Yadur, that a person should not live close to his Rebbe? How could Ula say that he should always live in proximity to his Rebbe? Lo kasha hada chayefle, hada lo chayefle. Rashi explains, hada chayefle im kafuf hula rabo le kabal tochachoso yadur etzlo. If he's open to accept the guidance and the rebuke in certain cases of his Rebbe, then he should be near him. But in love, if he's not going to live by the creed of his Rebbe, then tov l'srachik mena, better that he should stay away via shogeg v'al yemezit. Omar Rav Huda bar Yehuda, Omar Rav Nachman, Omar Rami Ami, my dechsiv v'oz v'ashem yichlu. A person, when they open up the Sefer Torah, about to read the Sefer Torah, he leaves, he checks out, he goes outside. Such a person violates the Isur of Yitzia mi-Beis HaKnesses, when the Sefer Torah is open, and the poskim say that this applies even if he's already heard Kriyas HaTorah, but the very moment that they took out the Sefer Torah and they're listening to its Kriya, he's not allowed to go out. And all this is codified in Or HaChaim Siman Kuf Mem Vav, and the Bir Aloch is Medayik from the Lush in the Shulchan Aruch, also Lotzei Selaniach Sefer Torah Kshu Pasuach. Mashma says the Bir Alocha, af im lo ischilu adayin likros betorah osulotzis, from the very moment that they place the Sefer Torah and open it, they haven't started reading it yet, from that moment and on, you're not allowed to go out of the Beis HaKnesses. And this is not reflected by the Rambam's language. The Rambam writes, osulotzis against Mishosha Kore, HaKore, it means only after they began reading the Sefer Torah, and perhaps this machlokes between the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch is based on the question, what is the nature of this Iser? If the Iser is an affront to the Sefer Torah itself, that would probably begin the moment they open the Sefer Torah. If it's an affront to the Torah itself, Not the Sefer Torah, but the Torah, the Talmud Torah, the Torah that's being taught, well, they haven't begun teaching the Torah, they haven't begun reading the Torah. The Rambam is right that there's no Isur Yitzia Mimei Beis HaKnesses after the Sefer Torah has been opened, but before they started reading it. And the Gemara goes on to say that this halacha, which is derived from Oz V'Hashem Yichlu, has an exception. There is a situation in which you're allowed to leave the Beis HaKnesses even though the Sefer Torah is open. Rabbi Avo, Nofik, Ben Gavra, LeGavra. They finished one Aliyah, they haven't started the next Aliyah. You're allowed to leave the Beis HaKnesses. And the reason for this Heter Yitzia Ben HaOlim is because he's doing this on a one-time basis. The poskim write that he's not b'tadirus constantly leaving between gavra and gavra. That would look like prikas ola Torah. But in occasion, if he needs to go, and it's between gavra and gavra, he can check out of the Beis HaKnesses. The prichadash is of the opinion that you're allowed to leave as soon as they finish the kriya itself. You don't have to wait for the bracha lachreha of the Ole Baruch Hashem Nosan Lono Torah Semes, etc. But nevertheless, other poskim write that the bracha after the kriya is an integral part of the kriya, has the same status of the kriya. You're not allowed to leave the Beis HaKnesset until after the bracha is completed, and all this is codified in the Bir Halacha in Siman Kuf Mem Vav. Now, from the time of Ezra, they introduced into Kriyas HaTorah another takana, and that is Targum. And this was done for the benefit of those who couldn't understand the Torah, but they understood the Targum. Today, most people, I say, is the reverse. They understand the Torah, but not the Targum. But back in the days of Ezra, they could understand the Targum, but not the Torah itself. And the Kore would read a Pasuk, and then he would wait until the Metargim would be Metargim that Pasuk, and then he would read the next Pasuk. And the Gemara here says, Boy Rav Papa, the Suffolk of Rav Papa, Bein Psuka Lipsuka Mahu. What's the deal if he wants to leave between one Pasuk and another? Now, you might ask me, well, how much time does he have between the end of one Pasuk and the beginning of the next Pasuk? The answer is, he has a few seconds because the Metargim is now involved in Tirgum. Can he walk out of the shul and miss the Tirgum of the Targum, of the Metargim? And Rav Papa doesn't have a clear answer to this question, therefore, Teiku. The Rabbeinu Yonah says that in such a case that the Gemara leaves it as a Teiku, we should apply the principle of Safek Doraisa L'chumra. And the obvious question is, well, Kriyas HaTorah is not Doraisa. It was established by Moshe Rabbeinu, by Ezra. Whole sugi Bava Kama Pei Beis about this. But perhaps we could say that since this takana was instituted by Nevi'im, it has a Chumra, and therefore Safek Doraisa L'chumra would apply. That itself is a very problematic approach, because who gives the Nevi'im the authority to establish takanos and halachos? That's left to the Talmid Chachamim. Ein Rashoi, Ein Navi Rashoi L'chadish Davar, Lo Bashamayim Hi. But Rav Soloveitchik has a whole piece on this. He gave it once in the Yahrzeit Drasha for his father about what it means to takanos Nevi'im. In any event, there's another way of understanding why this suffix of Rav Papa, which is culminates in a teiku, should lead us to apply the principle of suffix deraisa l'chumra. And I believe this is a beautiful pshat. And the answer is that the issue at stake here is not the takana of Kriyas HaTorah, but rather Kavod HaTorah. If by leaving the shul he undermines Kavod HaTorah, and in the case of Bein Psuka L'Psuka, Rav Papa vacillates, and he doesn't have a definite conclusion, but there's a tzad to say that leaving Bein Gavra L'Gavra undermines the Kavod HaTorah. Kavod HaTorah itself is a Torah law, is a Doraisa. It's not a Din Drabanan, it's a Din Doraisa. Could be the Takana of reading the Torah's Drabanan, but the Kavod HaTorah, now, which is occasioned by the Kriyas HaTorah, that's certainly Doraisa, and therefore Ben Yonah is justified in saying that Ben Gavra L'Gavra, we should apply the principle of Safek Doraisa L'Chumra. So that Bein Psuka L'Psuka, which means during the reading of the Targum, the Gemara has, in the name of Rabbi Yavoah, a Safek, in the name of Rabbi Papa, sorry, a Safek, and as we discussed earlier, the Poskim want to apply the principle of Safek Doraisa L'Chumra, and we analyze that. But what itself is the nature or the root of the Safek of Rabbi Papa? And perhaps we could say that when we take the Pasuk V'Yozve Hashem Yikolu, which is a reference to Meniach Sefer Torah V'Yotze, we can define that, is this Pasuk enjoining us from being Meniach the Cheftz of the Sefer Torah, that's the object of this Isur, or is the Isur because of Bizui Divrei Torah, you're not allowed to leave even during Targum, even though the Sefer Torah at this point is not being read, But nevertheless, it's Divrei Torah. Targum is Divrei Torah. And fundamentally, there are two dinim of Kedusha in Torah. There's the Kedusha, the Chefetz Shel Torah, and that's on the Osios. That's called Gufa de Kedusha. There's a sheet of the Baal HaMor that Kedushas Chefetz Shel Torah applies not just to the Osios, but also to the Gvilin, meaning the Klaf, which requires Ibud Lishma. And even though the Ramban disagrees with the Baal HaMor, and he holds that the Klaf is nothing more than Tashmishi Kedusha, but he agrees that the Ksav itself, the Osios themselves, have Gufa de Kedusha. That's one chalos in the Chefetz Shel Torah, and then there's a chalos in the Kedushas Divrei Torah. And the chalos in Divrei Torah is engendered by Dvar Hashem. What are Divrei Torah if not Dvar Hashem? And therefore the chalos Kedusha of Divrei Torah apply even to Torah Shebal Peh. So with regard to the Chefetz Shel Sefer Torah, Targum is not relevant, doesn't have Kedushas Chefetz Shel Torah. We're not talking about Gvilin and Klaf and Osios and Ksav, and therefore he'd be allowed to leave between Pasuk and Pasuk because the reading of the Targum is not a Chefetz Shel Torah, it's Torah Shebal Peh. But from the perspective of the Kedusha of Divrei Torah, the Kedusha of Divrei Torah encompasses even Torah Shebal Peh, even the Targum. And the Isur of studying Divrei Torah in a Beis HaKiseh or in a Makom Metunav applies equally to both Torah Shebal Ksav and Torah Shebal Peh, because the Isur of Bizui, the Chefza of Divrei Torah, is applicable to Torah Shebal Peh as well. Torah Shebal Peh is no less Divrei Torah than Torah Shebal Ksav. And the Rambam, in fact, with regard to the Isur of Lo Yira L'Bacha Ervas Dover in the third parak of Hilchus Kriyat Shema, says, V'lo Kriyat Shema Bilvad El Kol Inyan Shu Midivrei HaKodesh Asur Liomro Beis HaMerchatz. And when the Rambam uses that phrase Divrei Kodesh, it sounds like he's including Torah Shebal Peh in the Isur of Bizui Dvar Hashem. And the Chalos Kedushas Divrei Torah applies to Torah Shebal Peh, as the Rambam paskens in Perek Vav Milchus Yisodi HaTorah when he writes, Kisvei HaKodesh Kulon Uperusheyen Ubiureyen Aso Lisrofosan Ola Avdom Biyad from Ha'abed Biyad Lokem Akas Mardus. The Rambam says that the Isur Mechikas Hashem applies even to Pirushim, even to Birurim of Torah, meaning to Torah Shebal Peh. There's a Chalos Kedusha of Dvar Hashem that applies equally to Torah Shebal Ksav and Torah Shebal Peh. And therefore, with regard to Torah Shebal Peh, we have the Kedusha not of the Chefetz Shel Torah, but of Divrei Torah. Whereas in the case of Torah Shebal Ksav, we have both dinim of Kedusha. We have Kedusha's Chefetz Shel Torah and Kedusha's Divrei Torah. And are you allowed to go out of the synagogue during the time of the reading of the Targum? It depends. If the Isur is based on V'ozvi Hashem Yikolu, because of the Meniach, the Aziva of the Chefetz Shel Torah, that doesn't apply to Targum. But if the Isur Yitzia is because of Bizoyin to Kedushas Divrei Torah, then it would be Chal, even with regard to Torah Shebal Peh, even with regard to Targum. And you would not be allowed to leave the shul during the reading of the Targum. And this suffix about whether or not you're allowed to leave while they're reading the Targum should apply in the case of Haftorah. When they read the Haftorah, if the Isur is because of Bizoyon to Kedushas Chefetz Shel Torah, then that's only Meniach Sefer Torah, but not Nevi'im. As far as the Kedusha Sefer Shel Torah, there's a fundamental difference between Kedusha Sefer Torah and Kedushas Nevi'im Uksuvim. And the Pasuk V'ozvei Hashem Yikolu is talking about a Sefer Torah. If, on the other hand, we define the Isur as Bizoyin L'Kedushas Divrei Torah, then Nevi'im is also included in that Isur. It's no less of Divrei Torah and Kedushas Divrei Torah than Torah itself, than the Chamisha Chumshei Torah, and it would be included under Dvar Hashem. In Shulchan Aruch Kuf Mem Vav, as we mentioned earlier, he writes Usul Isapik Shamafter Kori Benavi Ad She Yashlim Kimo B'Sefer Torah. It would seem from the Shulchan Aruch that you're not allowed to leave the shul during the Kriyas Haftorah because the Iser is not a bizoin to the Heftz of Sefer Torah, but an Iser to the Divrei Torah. That includes the Haftorah as well. And therefore, it doesn't surprise us if the Halacha L'Maisa case of Targum is L'Chumra and going and leaving the shul between Gavra L'Gavra while their Sefer Torah is closed, that's not an Isur. But yet, speaking in the Beis HaKnesses is prohibited. From the time of Psicha Sefer Torah Osul Saper, and even if they close the Sefer Torah in between, nevertheless, it could be that it's still Osur. And that is because of the element of Kedusha Sefer Torah as a result of the Heftz Shel Sefer Torah. So Mirz Hashem will try to expand on this in a different shir when we get a chance. But for the meantime, we covered quite a bit tonight in the Sugya on Daf Ches Amud Aleph in Masechta Brachos. And we still have a lot to do here, but Amir Tzashem will hopefully get a chance to cover as much as we can. Now it's Bein Hazmanim for the month of Nisan. We have Pesach fast and approaching. I don't know how many opportunities we'll have to get together, but I hope we will. And thanks so much.